We turn now in to the Old Testament, to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 24, and we will pick up our reading in this passage at verse 54, and we will read through 61. This is closing out the part in the passage of the servant of Abraham in that land that Abraham had been called out of, because as you see, 62 brings us back into the land of Canaan. And so we're closing out this section of this servant's service in the land where Nahor lives. Look here now, the word of God, Genesis 24, start reading at 54. Then he and the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night. When they arose in the morning, he said, "Send me away to my master." But her brother and her mother said, "Let the girl stay with us a few days, say 10. Afterward, she may go." He said to them, "Do not delay me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." And they said, "We will call the girl and consult her wishes." Then they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." Thus they sent away their sister Rebekah and her nurse with Abram's servant and his men. They blessed Rebekah and said to her, "May you, our sister, become thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them." Then Rebekah arose with her maids, and they mounted the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. This is the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Our merciful God, what a beautiful passage, even with a benediction there, looking forward to the storming of the gates of hell. And so we pray, as we dive into this portion of Scripture, that you would indeed help us by your Spirit. As we see the truth of the Word, may we now worship you in the hearing of this sermon through the Spirit, as he not only illuminates the pages, but as he applies these words to our lives. We pray now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen and amen. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, there is a reality. We sang about it just now in the last hymn. Only trust him now. He will save you now. And so there is a reality in the Christian life. Charles Spurgeon would emphasize this in his preaching, and I'll call it the nowness of the Christian life and faith. Spurgeon had a famous sermon titled one word, "Now." Now, and in that sermon, he's got some very good, he says, "Now is the hour. Now is the hour of salvation. Don't wait for tomorrow to repent and believe. Tomorrow is of the devil. Now is of Jesus Christ. Now is the day to be saved. Now is the time for salvation." There is the nowness of the Christian life. This is true today. It wasn't just true back then in London with Spurgeon. It's not just true in the days of Jesus. It's not just true here with this passage as his servant is saying, "It's time now to go to my master's son." It's true now. It's true for us today. And this nowness is present in our passage. The question is, well, why wait? When you have good news, why sit on it? Why wait for another 10 days? Why wait? We'll see this theme summarize our passage. Now that God has blessed the servant's journey, he must leave with Rebekah right away. Why wait? It's time to go. It's time to bring the good news to the son of Abraham. His bride is coming. When the servant calls, do you come or do you wait? When the servant of God says, "Now is the time," he said, "Give me a few days to think about it." When he says it's time to leave, do you listen And as we jump into this passage, in order to uncover the truths of Jesus Christ, who is the servant of God, let's begin with a look at verses 54 and 57. It's time to leave. Now is the time. The servant has his answer, and he says, it is time to leave. There's no need to delay any longer. There's no need to take a couple of more days for rest, relaxation. He's not on vacation. It's time to go. Down to business. Isaac is in need of Rebekah. But Laban, as we saw last week, we see it again. He shows another one of his character traits. Typical Laban. He wants just a little longer with his family. Look at 54 and 55. The context of verse 54 is 52 and 53. The servant worshiped God because God has answered his prayers and the servant has given the bridal price or the gift for the wedding here to the family. And now we have, following that 52 and 53, we have verse 54. Then he and the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night. Now, with these words, we find another place explaining why he needed all those camels. He had all these men with him. We're not told how many, but he did have people with him. Again, the simple camping, cooking, and protection from bandits while on the road, heading to a foreign land. Necessity for guards, for people, for traveling in numbers. We also see that the servant continues to be a man of his word. He said he would not eat, drink, go to the left or to the right until God answered his prayer. Now that God answered his prayer, notice we see that he ate, he drank, and he slept. He went to the right to his bedroom and he lay down for the night. So did all of his other men. Now we see when they arose in the morning, he said, send me away to my master. Now, not later after lunch. Not after a good meal. It's time to go. It's time to leave. The servant has good news to bring back to his master. And the good news is Rebekah, who seems to be standing in the other room. What we find is a character trait of Laban here. He is not so quick or willing to see his family leave him. And truthfully, can you blame him? Can you blame him? This is his sister. He's grown up with her. Any of us in here who have a close sibling or even children, it's hard. It's hard to say goodbye and to move on. And so at this moment, we can't blame Laban for this. It's hard. If we're honest with ourselves, he hates to see his family move away. This is what we see in verse 55. But her brother and her mother said, let the girl stay with us a few days, and let's say 10. Afterward, let her go. Laban and the mother wants just a few more days. This is sudden. This is not like the type of engagements we have today where people are, you know, they're preparing for 6 months or a year. This is... he showed up, now it's time to leave the next day. So we shouldn't read what we'll read later in Genesis. We should not read greed into these words. He's not asking her to stay so that he can make a profit off of him like he would make a profit off of Jacob. That's not the context of these words. That's later. But what we see here is simply a brother and a mother who is shocked by the turn of events, God's providence. And they want just a little longer with their daughter and their sister. What we should simply see is Laban's... here becomes the problem in the passage. And this is what the servant will point out. Laban is now standing in the way. So is the mom. They're now standing in the way of God's promises. And that's the problem here. The servant recognizes this. God has blessed this trip. God has made a promise to Isaac, and the answer is Rebekah and the children that they will have together. And now Laban and this mother is standing in the way of seeing God's promises fulfilled. The servant says, now. But Laban says, just wait just 10 more days. Can you just give us just a little longer to be with our sister? The problem is that 10 more days is still would not be ready. At the end of the day, still, well, wait, I'll start some other day this week. Well, some day is not a day of the week. At the end of 10 days, you still won't be ready. It's now. Now is the time. It's time to leave. So as we look at this, the servant in verses 56 says, no more delay, it's time to go. Look there. He said to them, do not delay me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And the servant's response to Laban, his request here is twofold. He says, first of all, do not delay me because the covenant God of Abraham, Yahweh, Jehovah, has prospered my way. He's blessed this. God has blessed Abraham's request. God has shown his faithfulness to Abraham by providing for Isaac a wife. Don't delay me. God has blessed Isaac's need for comfort in his time of grief by providing Rebekah. The sovereign blessing, the sovereign hand of God, his blessing has been declared from the foundation of the earth that these two would be together in the holy state of matrimony. The servant is getting to see this unfold before his eyes. This is why he worshiped God twice now before we even get to this part. God has planned every step of man. God has blessed the plans here of man, as the Proverbs say. God has not made this trip a vain wandering around in the wilderness. But this has been something with purpose. God has prospered his journey. God, the faithful God of the covenant, has provided once again for his people. Second, we see that the servant does not want to wait 10 days to bring the good news of God's answer, his blessing to his master Abraham and to his master Isaac. He desires to go now. Why wait? He wants to go now to share the good news of God's fatherly provision. His feet are ready to go. He has had a good night's rest. And now it's time to go and declare the good news of God's covenantal blessings to Abraham. This is what Isaiah would say in Isaiah 52, verse 7. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, hear these words, who says to Zion, your God reigns. This is why the servant can't wait to get back. Guess what news he's bringing back? Our covenant God reigns, and he has answered prayer. Here she is, Rebekah. His sovereign hand has blessed my trip, and here she is. The answer to our prayers, the answer to his needs, the answer to my trip is seen by our God reigns. He has answered our prayers. See how Rebekah's family responds to this in verse 57. And they said, we will call the girl and consult her wishes. In other words, let's see what she has to say about this. Well, that's well and good, but she's the one leaving. Let's see what she has to say. They have already said they cannot say one good or bad thing about this. They see that God has spoken, but at the end of the day, they're putting the ball in her court. What is she going to do with it? How is she going to handle this? The question is on the table. Is she going to stay or for another 10 days? Or is she going to go now? Therefore, the place of this responsibility is not laid on God. See here? It's a delay tactic. But well, let's see what she has to say. God has spoken. Well, let's see what she has to say. It's not given to the servant. It's not given to the head of the household. It's placed on the shoulders of Rebekah. What a challenge. Rebecca's the one who is moving away to a foreign land. Let's see what she has to say. And this is where we go in verses 58 through 61. The question has been raised. Rebecca has been fetched in order to answer the question. And here in these few verses, we find that she is ready to leave. It's about time. Ready, and it's time to go. First, she answers the question. She says, yes. She says, yes. Look at 58. Then they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. The tension is in the room. Hope you can feel it. The family against the servant, the minister. The tension's in the room. The family do not want to stand in the way of God's plans, while at the same time, hey, they're not ready to say goodbye to her yet. They're not ready to leave her, let her go. They want to have just a few more days to enjoy their lovely daughter and good sister. And so this is the tension that surrounds every wedding. Every wedding, this is the tension. Weddings are actually, at the end of the day, for a minister, they're not fun. They're not at all, because he has to deal with the focus is should be on the husband and the bride, when the focus majority of the time gets put on the in-laws and the weddings that they're trying to have through their kids. And that's what we see here. The servant of Abraham is trying to get this wedding hitch, trying to get this going, and the family is standing in the way. Typical wedding. Typical rehearsal. Typical moment. They're trying to stand in the way of what God is drawing together, bringing together. This is the reason why the scriptures are very clear. You're to leave father and mother and cling to your spouse. There are other problems with modern wedding practices, but we're not dealing with that in this passage. What we find here is the family is trying to get in the way of Isaac, of Rebekah. Trying to get in the way of them getting married. And so this is what the family is doing here in this verse. They are delaying the wedding. It's a delay tactic. Just asking the question is a delay tactic. Are you sure you want to go now? Are you sure this is the guy? Are you sure? Will you go with this? Look at the impersonal quality of the question. It's not the servant of Abraham, our relative, this man. Still, we don't have a name for him. Are you wanting to go with this man? We don't even know him. Are you wanting to go? Abraham didn't come. Isaac's not here. Are you sure you're wanting to go with this man? They raise the question just to be disappointed with the answer. Look at her answer. I will go. I will go. In a romance novel, every lady would begin to tear up at this moment because the tension is there. And finally, she speaks. She's the one, the elephant in the room who hasn't spoken the whole time. And she says, yes. The comedic relief of two men standing in a bar as one of them is sitting back and saying how he proposed to his girlfriend. And then he asks, well, what'd she say? And it's obvious. She said, yeah. That's what we have here. That's what we have with this moment. The tension has been built up. And built up and built up. And finally, we are relieved with the answer we want to hear the whole time. Yes, I will go. Let's do this. I'm ready. You wouldn't believe what my brother's like. It's time to get out of Dodge. It's time to get married. It's time to do what God has willed for me to do. She says, yes. She will go. And so we finally have the second answer in our passage. Rebecca actually is the first answer. Who will Isaac marry? Well, it's Rebecca. Now she delivers the second answer. She will submit to God's authority, who has called these two, Isaac and Rebecca, together in the holy state of matrimony. She will say goodbye to her father and mother and cling to Isaac. With this, we see she actually leaves a very blessed woman. And these are the last few verses in our passage, 59 through 61. In these verses, we see the two blessings The first is seen in verse 59. She is blessed with a nurse, with a friend, with a family servant. Look there, 59. Thus they sent away their sister Rebecca and her nurse with Abraham's servant and his men. And what we must see here is the blessing that she is not going to a foreign land alone, by herself, but with her nurse. It's possible that this has been her handmaid growing up as a child, a friend. Or this has simply been that nurse that she's had since she was a child that her mother had placed to take care of her, to guard her, to protect her, to be with her. The point is, whoever this woman is, she's a friend of Rebecca. She will remind her of home and remind her of where she's come from and where she's going. Second, she's given this benediction in verse 60. They blessed Rebecca and said to her, "May you, our sister, become thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them." Here we see the exact covenant blessing that God had given to Abraham. At this moment, picture the servant just, you know, fumbling with his stuff, getting it on the camel. When he hears these words, he looks up because he recognizes the very words that God spoke to Abraham, his master. And this is the prophetic blessing now spoken on Rebekah and Isaac from these people he just met the day before. That her children would be numerous, thousands upon 10,000s. And that her children would stand in the gates of their enemies. Not condemned, but victoriously. This is pointing to the fulfillment of Jesus Christ, as he said up on the mount in Matthew 16, "The gates of hell cannot stand against what I'm doing." The son of Rebecca storms his enemies, and he stands, and he protects his people from hell. This blessing reaches far beyond Rebecca, far beyond this moment, because this blessing shows us who Rebecca is. Much like Sarah was a matriarch of our faith, so too is Rebecca. She is one of the mothers of our Savior Jesus. They give this blessing that her children would not have enemies. You see that? That they would conquer their enemies, overcome their enemies. This is a huge blessing, much bigger than just the generation she lives in. Tens of thousands of children follow. And then verse 61 is the send-off. Then Rebekah arose with her maids, and they mounted the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. A couple other points here. She left with maids, which suggests she has more than just one nurse. That's maids, plural. She's got more than one. And while we find another reason for bringing all these camels, why in the world? Carry food and carry not only the servant's men, but now Rebekah's ladies. You see, the whole time the servant knew he would go and he's going to come back with quite a few people. Not potential, you know, women, one woman, but all of her helpers. They departed. And now they're on their way back to Isaac, back to Abraham. God is good. He has blessed this trip. We'll close with just a couple of points of application here as we glean from other places in Scripture to help us understand what is going on with this passage. The first is the continued understanding of the way this servant was in such a hurry to bring the good news of God. The good news of God back to his master Abraham. If you remember, we read from Isaiah 52. That passage shows up in another place which explains preaching and what preaching is. It's Romans chapter 10, verse 15. Just shortly after Paul says, preaching is the voice of Christ. When you hear a sermon, you hear Jesus. He goes on to say this about the messenger. How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Isaiah 52, Romans 10. This servant had a gospel message. And he didn't want to wait 10 days to preach it. You see, we come here to this building to hear the good news of good things. These things are of Jesus Christ. And this verse shows us the respect given not only to the messenger, but also to the message. No matter who stands behind this pulpit, it is the message we are here to hear. The message, Jesus Christ. No matter the passage of Scripture, we come here to hear the good news of good things of our salvation in Jesus Christ. See, the servant in our passage could not wait to go. And there comes a moment with every preacher that he says, I can't look over this stuff anymore. It's time to preach. It's time to go. I'm ready. And that's the way the servant was. You see, in the midst of worship, in the midst of our service in worship, we must sit with an eager expectation not to sing another song, not to hear another prayer, not to give another dollar, but to hear God, to hear Him, and to hear of the salvation we have in His Son, to hear of His fatherly care in our lives through the past 6 days as we look forward to the next, to hear of how He has blessed us in His Son. We sit eagerly expecting to hear the Word of God from His servant. That's why we have gathered, to hear the gospel, to hear the good news of good things of Jesus Christ. And secondly, remember how we started the sermon out with the reality of nowness, the nowness of the Christian life, the nowness of Christian faith, the nowness of repentance in Jesus Christ. The nowness is also present with this reality as Jesus was walking about and as He had just finished doing some work, some men came up to Him and said, we'll follow you. I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus reminded him of the foxes and of the birds. Well, I don't think I want to follow you there. You don't have a pillow. You don't have a comforter. You don't have a comforter. You don't have a king size. I don't think I'm going to follow you there. You're not bringing us to royal palaces. I don't think so. Well, another one said, well, wait a minute. My dad is dying. Let me go bury my dad. Can you wait for me? King of kings, Lord of lords, wait for me. Bow to my knees. And Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead. My people, follow me now. Follow me now. I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. Give me 10 more days with my family before I follow you, Jesus. Jesus said to him, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now is the time of salvation. Don't look back. Look forward, as we have confessed with the Article 37 of the Belgic Confession. Look forward. You see, those are examples in Luke 9 of people who thought that they would follow Jesus, but when push come to shove, when it was time to get dirty, when it was time to say goodbye to family and friends, we find out they weren't really followers of Jesus. They just wanted the royal prestige of being in Jesus' people. Jesus has called. Jesus, the servant of God, the suffering servant of God, that tells us a little bit about how our life is going to be, has called us to Himself now. No waiting. No more waiting. No more delay. No more waiting. Tomorrow I'll take care of that. Tomorrow I'll tell that person about Jesus. Tomorrow I invite my family member. Tomorrow I'll say that to my co-worker. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. There's no such day as tomorrow. There's today. There's now. This servant understood that. When people got in the way of the promises of God, he said, no. No delay. Now is the time to go. Now is the day of Christ. Now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow's not promised to anyone. It's time to go. Amen. Let's stand for prayer. Merciful God, we thank You that today You have given to Your people salvation in Jesus Christ for those who believe, for those who repent, for those who come through grace. Not of their own works, not of their own effort, but surely of the Spirit of God, the love that You have poured upon Your people from eternity past to this very day. God, we thank You for the eagerness of coming to You today. And we pray that we may all continue to have that reality of the nowness of the Christian life. That we live now, not tomorrow, but we live today. We pray now as our Lord taught us how to pray, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.